Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Be seated.
Jesus was the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in the sight. Jesus was the little children of the world. Thank you.
Let us pray Psalm 85 responsively. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people and blotted out their sins. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, and to those who turn their hearts to you, truly your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
I was in high school, I learned some very important rules for writing an essay. For those of you in high school, or if you have a high schooler, you should really be writing this down. This stuff is gold. When writing an essay, you begin with an introduction. You tell the reader what you're going to tell them. An introduction can really tell you a lot about the essay you're about to read. The gospel lesson today is the introduction to Mark. Introductions can tell you a lot. For instance, Matthew, Luke, and John were all constructed in different ways with different intentions. Matthew, for instance, begins with the genealogy of Jesus. The writer of Matthew is really concerned with showing that Jesus is from the Davidic line, that he's king. Luke begins this way. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been filled among us, he's concerned with writing a good and orderly account. John's beginnings show that Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We can learn a lot from a story by how it begins. We hear today the beginning of Mark's gospel. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the first verse. That sets the whole stage for the book we're about to listen to. No matter where the story takes us, no matter where it goes, we remember it's good news. But something funny happens in the following verse. It doesn't start talking about Jesus, but it starts to proclaim a promise from the prophets. And although it says Isaiah, it's an interesting mixture of actually two books. It's a mixture of Exodus and Isaiah. And both of these passages are pivotal moments in the history of Israel. Exodus 20, 23 says this: I'm going to send an angel in front of you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place that I have prepared. This was a time in Israel's history when they were just leaving slavery. God was taking them out of Egypt and into the promised land. It was a time of new beginnings. Something was going to happen. This was surely good news to them, to a people who were leaving slavery, who were entering a desert to learn how to be God's people. This Exodus event defined them as a people. The second part is a quote from Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This verse was written at a time in Israel's history where they once again found themselves under the yoke of oppression. They'd been living in the promised land for hundreds of years, living in freedom. And yet, they sinned. And they found themselves as slaves living in a foreign land. The promised land had become a distant memory. But a new epic was announced in Isaiah. "Comfort my people. She has served her term. Her penalty is paid." We read that God was going to release them again from captivity. Prepare the way. The Lord is going to do something new. This is surely good news to those during that time. So let's hear again the words of Mark 2:3. See, I am sending a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. This would have been exciting. This would have gotten the attention of all who were listening. Something new is going to happen. There's going to be a change soon. The old order is going to be replaced with the new. John the Baptist in the wilderness evokes the memories of the Exodus when the people were moving to a new place. O come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel. The people were waiting for a new exodus. They were waiting for a new return from exile. Their land had been under Roman oppression. They wanted to be free from their oppressors like they had been before in their history. And they hear a sound in the desert. Prepare the way of the Lord. It's a phrase that's echoed at a transformative moment in the history of Israel. And it was now being used in the present. Many believed that in this new exodus, they would experience freedom from their Roman oppressors. And the people were excited. And what do we hear in the gospel today? That the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going to him. They were going to John, baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. The people wanted freedom. They were tired of being captive. They were waiting and waiting for God to deliver them. So they hear the news of John, and they wanted to prepare for Jesus. They were baptized, and they were starting to live out this new narrative by being immersed, by being baptized. And John, he looks the part too. He was dressed like the prophet Elijah. He was an object lesson of what God was going to do for the people. The good news isn't proclaimed from a throne. The good news isn't proclaimed even in Jerusalem. No, they find it in the desert where they prepare. See, because the people felt like they themselves were in a desert. They were barren in a wasteland under this occupation. But it was from this place that they would receive news of freedom. As much as John the Baptist plays a role in the beginning of the story, he isn't the central character. In Mark's gospel, John the Baptist is purely there to point the way to Jesus. He's there to announce one who is more powerful than him. So get ready. Repent of your sins, be baptized, and look for the one who is stronger, who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Advent is a time to remember that Jesus is the inbreaking of an entirely new order of things. What many of the people wanted was a king to come and release them from the Romans. But the good news that they received had the cosmos in mind. Since the beginning, humanity has been plagued with sin. We have this innate destructive ability. We're so prone to being self-interested. St. Augustine said, it's the heart turned in on itself. And indeed, don't we see that in so many places? Don't we see that in ourselves? The people wanted relief from their captors, like they had when they were in Egypt or in Babylon. But what they actually received was forgiveness for their sins. We received reconciliation with our God. The Roman occupation was thinking too small. What we received was so much bigger. And we're not just pronounced forgiven and then left alone. Jesus came and gave us a baptism that empowered them, empowers us with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God. And what happens when you're immersed in the Spirit is amazing. The Spirit of God unites us with God and each other. We're giving this divine enabling to do what Jesus did. And we're put on a path towards reconciliation. The Spirit enables us in different ways. Galatians says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are marks that the Spirit of God is active in you. John's baptism didn't give this Spirit. The baptism that Jesus provides does. John's job was to always point to the one stronger than him. So the people were going to John to prepare for the coming of Jesus. They were waiting for Jesus to do something new. They wanted freedom. And not much has changed today. The good news that we proclaim is of a God who is fully found in the person of Jesus. We wait in Advent for God's coming. Every year we reenact this pivotal moment in the history of humanity where God took on the flesh to baptize us with the Spirit so that we could be united with God. We reenact this story looking at both the past, the present, and the future, all being rolled up into one. We wait for Jesus to return and finish bringing God's kingdom to earth. We wait. And we wait. And the beautiful thing is that we invite others into the story. We invite other people into the desert to show them how God experienced the desert. Because it was on the cross that Jesus was abandoned. But it was also the place where God was shown to be most powerful. So we invite others to come, to wait with us, to pray, to sing, to be transformed in this time of waiting. We hear in 2 Peter today that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We wait. But also in this waiting, we're given the gift of the Spirit to be Christ's hands and feet. We are called the body of Christ for a reason. All right. At the very beginning of this sermon, I told you something I learned in my high school English class. An introduction goes like this. You tell them what you're going to tell them. I'm going to give you one more piece of advice. Any high schoolers here? Well, there's Christina here. The way you end it is you have a conclusion. You tell them what you told them. I'm telling you, this stuff's gold. I should be charging you. We began reading the first verse. We hear that it was the good news of Jesus Christ. It's all good news. And we see how the Gospel of Mark connects the history of Israel in the person of Jesus. We learn that John prepared the way for Jesus. And we wait. And this is a time to invite others to wait with us. To see how God is using God's people to transform creation. And we wait for the day that God will make all things new. Amen.